الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وآت ذا القربى حقه، وقال تعالى: واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليصل رحمه. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من أحب أن يبسط له في رزقه وينسأ له في أثره فليصل رحمه، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله العظيم، وبلغنا رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected elders and brothers, in the Holy Quran and in the Mubarak Hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are numerous occasions when this one aspect of our deen is discussed, which is the aspect of Sila Rahmi. Sila Rahmi refers to joining ties with our family members, keeping good relations with family. This forms a very, very important part of our deen. And over and over again in the Quran, in the Hadith, this aspect is discussed of how important it is for a Muslim to keep good relations, to keep good family ties with the people who are related to him. The people who are related to us are those people whom Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself has chosen or has handpicked that these will be our relatives, these will be our brothers, these will be our sisters, these are our uncles, these are our aunts, these are our cousins, these are our nephews and nieces. And this relationship is a relationship which has been chosen by Allah. And when Allah Ta'ala has made a choice in something, then obviously this choice is the best. So those people who are related to us are actually the best people for us, because they have been chosen for us by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Sometimes you'll find a person, he mentions this phrase, but maybe negatively he says it, but there's a lot of truth in it and a lot of reality in it. Sometimes you'll hear a person saying that you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your relatives. There may be truth in it, because the relatives that has been chosen for us have been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us in the Quran Kareem over and over again, آتِزَ الْقُرْبَ حَقَّهُ. As far as rights of your relatives are concerned, then a person must make sure he fulfills their rights. He goes out of his way and be good to his relatives, be kind to his relatives. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَسِلْ رَحِمَهِ. That person who believes in Allah and believes in the last day, then such a person must join ties with his relatives. He must be good, he must be kind to his relatives. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ أَحَبَّ أَن يُبْسَطَ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ وَيُنْسَأَ لَهُ فِي أَثَرِهِ فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَهِ. That person who wants expansion in his rizq and his sustenance, person wants more rosy. This is something which everybody desires. You know, somehow my pay packet can increase. Somehow my overheads can get less, my profits can get more, and I can have more rizq and more sustenance. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person who wants more rizq and more sustenance, وَيُنْسَأَ لَهُ فِي أَثَرِهِ, and he wants a longer life. He's not happy with a short life. He's not happy that death must come to him any time now. In fact, he wants a longer life. وَيُنْسَأَ لَهُ فِي أَثَرِهِ فَلْيَسِلْ رَحِمَهِ. Then the prescription for this too, for abundant rizq and for a long life, is that a person must keep good ties with his relatives, with his family, with his, the people that are related to him. Furthermore, in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that they have two footsteps that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really loves. One is the footstep that is taken towards the masjid for salah. And the other is the footstep that is taken towards a relative in order to join ties with him and to keep ta'alluq with his relative. The first footstep which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about is the footstep that is taken to the masjid. When a person walks and goes to the masjid. And what a wonderful sunnah is this of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we walk and come to the masjid. One day one sahabi, he came and complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that he's living too far away from Masjid Nabawi and his desire was to purchase a house nearby the masjid so that he could come quickly to the masjid. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam discouraged him from doing this and he said, you're better off living far away from the masjid and walking towards the masjid for every salah. For every footstep that you will take towards the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive one sin of yours and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you one sawab and one reward for walking to the masjid. How wonderful a sunnah this will be for us to try and implement in our lives that we come walking to the masjid. And if not every day or for every salah, then at least once in a while when we get a chance, perhaps maybe on a Sunday for Zuhar salah, if we're living a bit of a distance away, then we try and revive the sunnah of walking towards the masjid instead of jumping into our car and coming for every salah to the masjid. So this was one footstep which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And the second footstep which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala loves dearly is a footstep that is taken towards meeting a family member. We know some relative of ours is here. Or we're going to visit somebody, some sick person in the family to go and join ties with that family member. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really loves this footstep and loves that walk of that person or the movement of that person towards the house of his relative that now he's going to join ties with his family members. It was the Mubarak Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even before he became the Nabi of Allah, that he would always join family ties. He would keep contact with all his relatives. That is why on the occasion when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam became a Nabi, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam in the cave of Hira to inform him that he was made the final messenger of Allah. When he came to his wife, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, he was trembling with fear that such a great responsibility is on my shoulder. I wonder if the people of Makkah will listen to what I have to say. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha comforted him. And amongst the qualities of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he enumerated was, إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِيمُ. Why are you scared? Allah will never disgrace you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because you have fantastic qualities. You have beautiful sifat. And amongst them, this one quality is outstanding in you. إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِيمُ. You always keep contact with your family members. You always join ties with them. And we'll see that throughout the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always encourage this and you'd always practice on this to the extent that even after Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha had passed away, many years later, it was his Mubarak Sunnah that he would always get an animal, he would slaughter that animal, and the meat of that animal, he would take it and distribute it to the friends of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, that this, even though she is now passed on, but now I can still keep ta'alluq and contact with the relatives of my wife who is now deceased. This was a sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how apt at the time of qurbani, that alhamdulillah all of us have done our qurbani, many of us may have received our meat parcels. It also may be a great idea that we make parcels for all our family members, people who we know far or near. I remember once in a madrasa, one student had attended the madrasa, he had enrolled in a madrasa. So Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, he asked me, this boy, is he related to you? So I told him, Mufti Sahib, he's related to me, but very far. So he told me, why are you keeping him far? Bring him near. Make him a near relative. Don't keep him as a far relative. So our relatives, all our relatives are close to us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in one hadith, تَعَلَّمُوا مِنْ أَنْسَابِكُمْ مَا تَصِلُونَ بِهِ أَرْحَامَكُمْ. That learn your family tree. Learn your family tree. Find out who are your relatives. All of them. Find out who they are. And then after knowing who they are, then you can keep contact with them. You can keep good relations with your family members. Unfortunately, sometimes what happens is, in the environment that we are living in, a youngster sometimes grows up and he doesn't even know that this is my father's cousin. So close, just one generation, and contact with the family is totally wiped out. Remember, brothers, This is not an Islamic culture. This is not a dini culture. A dini culture is a very warm culture where we all pee together, where there's a lot of muhabbat, there's a lot of love between families. A culture of kufr is a cool culture where people are just meant to fend for themselves. I remember once, many years ago, one of our ustads mentioned to us that there was a customer who used to come and attend a shop. So for some time he hadn't come, maybe a week or two, and when he came back, then he asked him that, I didn't see you for many days, where were you gone? So he says, no, I was gone to Johannesburg, and I had some work there, and I went to meet my son as well. So he says, perhaps you may have stayed at your son's house. So this person, he says, what my son's house? What are you speaking about? He says, I had to go to Johannesburg, my son lives in Johannesburg, but when I phoned him to ask him if I can come and visit him, he says, let me first discuss with my wife, and when she agrees, then I'll tell you when you can come for tea. So that's the culture of the kuffar. It's a very cool culture where there's no muhabbat and love between them. But the culture of Islam is a culture of muhabbat and love, where there's always muhabbat and love amongst us, and especially with family members. We should always keep that ta'alluq and keep that warmth. We speak about Bakra Eid, and we said that Eid al-Adha is a time when people are making the meat parcels. It's a beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, that when the meat parcels come, they will divide it into three sections. One section a person keeps for himself, one he keeps for the poor and the needy, and the third part of that, of his meat parcels, he should be distributed amongst one's relatives and amongst one's family. So how wonderful a sunnah this would be for us if we can try and bring alive this great sunnah of keeping that family ties and that muhabbat. In the previous times, many of us would have heard of the name of Shaykhul Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh, and Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh is the founder of Dawat and Tabligh. And Hazrat Maulana Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullahi Alayh is the author of Fazail Amal, uncle and nephew. It was, both of them were very much involved in the work of deen. One was in Nizamuddin in Delhi, and one was in Saharanpur in the UP area. Both of them involved very, very deeply in the work of deen. But every now and again, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh would send a message to his nephew, Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Alayh, that I will be coming past Saharanpur, I'll come and fetch you, we'll go together to Kandla. Kandla is the village where they both come from, and we'll go and visit all our relatives. And both of them, uncle and nephew, they would make a point of going and visiting every relative of theirs, even if it was 2 minutes here, 5 minutes there, having a cup of tea by somebody, some mitai by someone, eating paan by somebody's house. But in one day, they would visit all their relatives, far or near relatives. Everyone would be visited. And in this way, they would revive this great sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sunnah of sila rahmi, of keeping ta'alluq and keeping ties with our family and our relatives. Our Hazrat Haji Bhai Padia rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with noor, Hazrat Haji Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to always advise, and he used to say that, you know, in South Africa, we have one problem. South Africans generally, they have a problem. What problem? He says, on a Sunday, everybody has to go for a drive. He says, what drive? Sometimes somebody is going for ice cream, someone is going to the park, someone is going for a picnic, but everybody has to go for a drive on a Sunday. So Haji Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to advise and used to say, that together with your drive, try and visit one family member as well. Go and visit some member of the family, whether it's some old person, some sick person, or some relative of yours. Many, many people are living alone in flats. Sometimes it's an old woman, she's a widow, her children are all professionals, maybe working around everywhere else, and she's living all alone. Nobody visits her, nobody makes salam with her, nobody sees to her. And many a times you'll find one family member who takes the pains of always going and visiting that person. That person will always say also that, you know, from everybody in the family, you one person that always thinks of me. And you one person that always comes and visits me. And it happens like this, that in this cold environment that we are living in, sometimes we forget about our relatives and our family that are living around. So to make a point of going and visiting, Hazrat Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali used to say, take your children, go for your drive if you have to, go have your ice cream if you have to, but together with that, try and visit one family member. Go make salam with them, see to them how they are. And our Ustad Hazrat Mufti Sahib Damod Barakatum, he adds one more point to that. He says, don't make it a dry visit. Take something with you and go. If it's now a watermelon season, maybe take some watermelon with you. If it's oranges season, maybe take a sack of oranges with you and go and give it to that person. Hadiyah and gifts are something that generates muhabbat. And the thing that we are lacking today in our society is we are lacking muhabbat and love. Amongst ourselves, amongst our family members, if we try and aliven this, then even some our children also will come to know that this is a family member, this is my father's cousin, this is my mother's cousin, these are all relatives, and that muhabbat and that love will inshallah ta'ala continue forever inshallah ta'ala. Amongst the ways that we can try and implement this is that many of us, after 7 o'clock, we got that free line, which we use, alhamdulillah, everyone uses it. Nowadays, it's difficult to get through to anyone's house also after 7, because everyone is using the phone. But we try and use that phone also, we use it for the sake of sila rahmi. Then let's try and phone all our relatives. Maybe perhaps we've got some relatives in Johannesburg, sometimes a relative in Cape Town, relatives who are living far away from us. Then we try and phone them regularly also, with this intention that is a great sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we'll try and revive this great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as a result, we'll gain the rahmat and the mercy and the barakat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, many of our ulama and our elders are suggesting that some person in the family, some person in every family, must try and take the responsibility of keeping that muhabbat and that love amongst the entire family. It will be that perhaps sometimes we'll have to invite others to our homes, have meals at our houses. Perhaps once a year, we have a big family program. And in that, we invite one alim to perhaps deliver a lecture also to the family, so that our families are also moving on the line of deen. It must not be that we are moving far away from deen, and or someone is on the line of deen, whilst others are moving away from deen. We will have to make fikr and take concern for the entire family. So in this way, inshallah ta'ala, we'll see that families will maintain that muhabbat and that love that's supposed to be generated amongst us will continue. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned severe warnings for a person who breaks up ties with his relatives. Sometimes it's a brother, sometimes it's a nephew, sometimes it's an uncle, sometimes it's a sister. But because of some feud or some fight, some argument or some problem, or some kind of other reason, then that problem then blows out of proportion. And a person then cuts off ties with his relatives. He's not speaking to his brother anymore. He's not speaking to his uncle anymore. Then for this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has sounded severe warnings for such a person. To this extent, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ قَاطِعٌ. That person who cuts off ties with his relatives, such a person will not even enter into Jannah. Such a severe warning which is mentioned in the hadith. In fact, in the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ. As far as those people who cut off ties with their relatives is concerned, Allah ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah's curse is upon those people who have cut off ties with their blood relatives, with their brothers, sisters, whoever it may be. Any family member who he has cut off ties with, then the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes upon such a person. It is mentioned in a hadith that every Monday and every Thursday, a person's good deeds are taken up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala then accepts all the good deeds of a person. A person's tahajjud, a person's nafil salah, his tilawat of the Quran, his zikr azkar, his namaz, roza, his zakat, hajj, etc. is all taken up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on 2 days of the week, on a Monday and on a Thursday. And Allah ta'ala then accepts all the ibadat of mankind. Except that person who has cut off ties with a family member of his, then Allah ta'ala rejects his amal and says, give it back to this person. His amal is not accepted until he doesn't join up with that family member of his, until he doesn't go and make maaf for that family member of his. His amal and his good actions are also not accepted. In fact, it is mentioned in one hadith, one day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting on the occasion of hajj and he was making dua. And before making dua, he asked the sahaba, is there any person amongst you who has cut off ties with any of his relatives? And if there is, then he should please move away from this gathering. He should move away from this majma. One person, one sahabi stood up and he walked away. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then made dua. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah ta'ala's mercy doesn't come upon a nation that has even one person who has cut off relations with his family members. Thereafter, after some time, that sahabi came back. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, why did you stand up and where did you go? So the sahabi mentioned that I had a problem with one aunt of mine. But when you said that I must move away from this gathering, I immediately went to her home. I went and asked her for maaf, and I begged her for forgiveness. She forgave me, I forgave her, and I came back to the majma. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very pleased. And it is mentioned in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Sil man qata'ak." That person who has cut off ties with you, he has cut off relations with you, then you must take the first step and go and ask that person for maaf. If there is anyone in the family who maybe we're not getting along very well with, or we've stopped speaking to them, or we now have cut off ties with them, then we should have the courage and we should take the himmat to take that first step and go to that person and ask him for a maaf and say, "Please, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I beg you to please forgive me." Because in this world, we can imagine the amount of bitterness and harshness there is in a person's heart who has hatred for his family members. Brother, sometimes, unfortunately, even you'll find you can't even get a smile out of a person. You can't even get a smile out of a person because of the bitterness that is in his heart. Why should we harbor this kind of bitterness? Let us remove all of that and we go and ask that person for maaf. Sometimes an elder, remember an elder always has the right to shout us. An elder always has the right to tell us if we did something wrong. As a youngster, we cannot pull up our face and get angry with our elder to say, "Well, my uncle, he shouted me, or my auntie, she shouted me. As a result, I've cut off ties with her. I don't want to go to her house. I don't want to speak to her." Remember that elder has the right. And at any time, even if they are wrong, they still have the right to shout us and to tell us what they want. And for that reason, a person can't get upset and cut off ties with family members. My respected elders and friends, generally you'll find that problems in families take place because of three reasons. Because of three reasons, generally, you'll find that there's problems in families. One is because of business relationships. When there's a partnership that's built up between brothers or between uncle and nephew or cousins, and it's not done according to the Sharia, and it's not done properly in writing, as the Quran Sharif says it should be done, then this is when, after some time, you'll find that there's a problem because of the business. Brothers then stop talking to one another. Uncles and nephews stop speaking to one another. Cousins stop talking to one another because of not having our businesses in accordance to the Sharia. The second reason why you'll find problems in families is when inheritance is not distributed correctly after a person passes away. Remember, it is the injunction of the Quran Kareem that when someone passes away in the family, then as quick as possible, that inheritance or that estate must be wound up and everyone must be given their share. Alhamdulillah, a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity of sitting in one mashwara where one relative had passed away. A family member had passed away. 1 week after he passed away, Alhamdulillah, the entire family sat down together, and in the time, the duration between Asr and Maghrib, the entire estate was distributed 1 week after the person had passed away. What happens is, in our naivety, sometimes we leave this estates, and it takes years and years, and sometimes generation after generation passes, until everybody starts demanding their shares. And when that happens, it causes much bitterness in families. People don't want to speak to one another thereafter. And the third thing that causes problems in families generally is gossip and ghibat. When people speak bad about one another, remember, in our ears, we should only hear good. Never ever take anything bad in our ears. If someone is speaking bad about one family member, then we just tell that person, "See, as far as you're talking about that person, I am much worse than that person. Rather you speak bad about me in front of me, don't speak bad about that person. I don't want to hear anything about my family. I don't want to hear anything wrong about my relatives." So we don't make ghibat and we don't speak gossip about our family. Anyone who's coming to say something to us also, we cut him off immediately. These are the three general reasons why we have breakups in families and we have fights and arguments in families. Nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that as far as possible, we should try and join up relationship. As Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Zakariya sahab rahmatullah alayhi, it was famous about him that when he would go to meet some of his family relatives in Kandla, then Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi would stretch his hands out to make salam with that family member. But that family member will put his hands behind his back and he'll say, "I'll never make salam with you. You are like this and you are like that." And he would refuse to make salam with Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi. But Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi would keep on going to that house and he'll keep on making salam with that person. So somebody told him, "Hazrat, why are you going out of your way to continue making salam with this person? Can't you see how he's treating you?" Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi's answer was very, very beautiful. And he used to say that, I don't have to worry about what he is saying to me. I have to worry about what my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that person who doesn't want to make salam with you, who cuts off ties with you, you must go and join up ties with him. And I will practice on what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said to me. So in the hadith also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about this. Sil man qata'ak, join up ties with that person who cuts off ties with you. Shall I just end off on this one incident? And I feel it very appropriate to mention it in this masjid, because it concerns a person who was a musalli in this masjid, the father of our Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill the qabars with noor and raise them to the highest stages of Jannatul Firdaus. All of us must be knowing Baji. Everybody must have, everyone in the masjid knows him. Baji was studying in India and he was becoming an alim. Maulana Umarji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to always speak about him, and he used to say that the ustaz in Randir used to say that if ever you want to see a student of deen, if ever you want to see a student of deen, then you should look at Yusuf Patel, which was the father of Hazrat Muhammad Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Baji, when he had come down to South Africa, after finishing 3 years of his alim course, his father had passed away, and he needed to come down immediately to take care of his mother. So when he had come back to South Africa, then he was living in Stanger. And at that time, there was some issue that had happened in the family, where there was, between some of the family members, Baji walked out of that. And he said that, I will keep muhabbat with everybody in the family. I will not break up my ta'alluq and relationship with anyone. He thereafter walked out. He worked in one shop to some tutla people in Stanger for about 27 years. And in that time, as far as wealth was concerned, perhaps he didn't get much wealth. He lived as an ordinary person. He lived in a rented house. He never owned a car in his entire life thereafter. So he lived a simple life. But he maintained ta'alluq and relationship with all his family members. And he kept that muhabbat. And he said, never will I break up that ta'alluq and that muhabbat and that love with any of my family members for something like wealth or anything like that. And he kept that ta'alluq. Right till the end, he maintained an excellent relationship with all his family members. And in exchange of that, then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala blessed him. And Allah ta'ala blessed him how? Allah ta'ala blessed him with 2 sons. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib Damat Barakatuhum. I ask you, brothers, what price tag can we attach to this? Is all the money in the world, can it buy something like this? But this is when it comes with muhabbat and love. A person, he says, well, when it comes to wealth, then I rather push that one side. But I will keep that muhabbat and the ta'alluq and that love amongst the family. And that will, inshallah, bring the special rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to me. May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. May Allah ta'ala keep the muhabbat amongst our families. Keep us united always. Let it not be that for something like wealth, we break up ties with our family members and bring up enmity and harbor hatred in our hearts for family members. May Allah ta'ala protect us all. Allah give us tawfiq.